Well, today we continue a commentary on St. Mark. This is chapter 9, beginning at verse 41. The Lord first tells his disciples that every act of kindness they receive from a person because they are a disciple of Christ will have a heavenly reward, even as something as giving a cup of cold water to a person will have a heavenly reward. Now, of course, in our day and age, to give somebody a cup of cold water is very easy. Just buy them a bottle of spring water. But back then, to actually get somebody a cup of cold water was a very time-consuming and sacrificial act, because it probably meant you had to go down to the well, maybe walk a half a mile or a mile in the heat with a large jar on your head. You had to then, you know, put that jar or get the bucket all the way down to the bottom of that well and pull it up. And then that's where you got your cold water from. And then to get that to a person while it was still cold, again, that was a real act of love. But Jesus says anything like that, any little sacrifice we do, will not lose a reward in heaven. And if they give you that cup of cold water because you're a disciple that has just come in from a journey, because you belong to Christ, that will bring about a heavenly reward. So think about that. The next time your kids ask you for a drink of water, next time you prepare a meal out of love for them, love for Christ, that will have a heavenly reward. Then St. Mark goes into Jesus' teaching, which is also found in St. Matthew chapter 5 from the Sermon on the Mount. Here we have Matthew's accounting of the Lord's teaching about scandal. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, the little ones here could be children or it could be a new believer in the faith. Probably refers to both, refers to young children. So to not scandalize them, to, if they have belief and faith, not to undermine that, not to lead them into sin, not to teach them the wrong teachings, but it also means new believers as well, the little ones in the faith. And the Lord says, whoever causes one of these little ones to go astray, it will be better for that person to have a great millstone tied around their neck and thrown into the sea. In biblical times, there were two kinds of millstones. One was like the one that would be used by hand to pound the grain and to make the flour. The other one was the large millstone, about the size of a card table, about maybe a foot thick, and that would be used by a donkey or a mule to go around to crush the grain. The millstone would be used, so it's the Lord here refers to the big millstone, not the small handheld one. And he says it'd be better if they had a millstone put around their neck and thrown into the sea. Why would that be better than what would happen to those who scandalize the little ones? Well, because this millstone would only bring about natural death. What's far worse is eternal suffering in hell. That's much worse than drowning in the ocean. To be forever in hell would be a far worse, infinitely worse than just losing one's life through drowning. And then the Lord he goes on to talk about sin and how to get rid of sin. And he uses the example, if your hand causes you to sin, or if your foot causes you to sin, or if your eye causes you to sin, cut it off, pluck it out, get rid of it. Of course, the church has never encouraged any self-mutilation. It never wants somebody to physically cut off their hand or their feet or to pluck out their eye. It's not the way we interpret this passage. No, the church has never interpreted it. But what it does interpret it, if you read the doctors and fathers of the church, they say, if you have sin in your life, you have to cut it out. You have to pluck it out. You have to get rid of it. Through confession, you get rid of that sin, and then you build good habits to get rid of that sin, whatever it might be. Let's say if the eye causes you to sin through envy or through other sorts of sins of looking at bad movies or bad pictures, you have to cut that out of your life. Or if your foot causes you to sin, like if somebody always goes to places that they know will lead them into sin, they have to stop walking to those places. If their hand causes them to sin through, let's say, a person who likes to steal things, they have to cut out stealing from their life. So it's not the physical self-mutilation that the Lord is talking about, but he's using very strong language about radical discipleship to remind us of cutting out sin from a person's life. And the Lord says it'd be much better to cut this out of your life now than to be thrown into Gehenna. Now, the word Gehenna is the word that Jesus often used for hell. Gehenna was actually the valley of Hinnom, which is south of Jerusalem, and this is where the children had been sacrificed to the god Moloch in the Old Testament times. And later on, it was turned into the big trash dump of Jerusalem. It was outside the city. They would burn the trash in the valley of Hinnom in Gehenna. And because of that, that was became an image of hell, because there was always a fire burning there. And there was always, you know, the worm that dieth not. And there was always the scavenger dogs. And it was just the howling of the dogs and the terrible stench and the flames. That's how what Jesus used as his image of hell. So he says it's much better to get rid of sin in your life now than to go to hell in the future life, where the worm does not die. The worm, of course, is the worm of regret, the worm of the conscience, the violation of one's conscience, and the fire is not quenched. So again, today we have very strong language from the Lord. You can also read this in Matthew's Gospel and the Sermon on the Mount. But today, Mark shares with us the same very powerful message, the importance of acts of love and kindness and charity towards others, even giving a cup of cold water. And then he talks about the danger of scandal and never leading a little one astray, but always being a good example for them, and not undermining their faith, but fostering their faith and helping them get to heaven. And if there's anything in our life that is keeping us from getting closer to God, we need to eliminate that and cut that out through confession in order to enter the kingdom of heaven.